It is January 13th, 2023. Friday night, Sabbath Eve. We are in, where are we at? Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 1, page 209, for those of you on the stream. It's right on the screen. And first paragraph, and this is what it says. It says, the Egyptian host was triumphing through that night, that the children of Israel were again in their power. You know, like when they were landlocked, they had the Red Sea in front of them. They thought there was no possibility of their escape, for before them stretched the Red Sea, and their large armies were close behind them. In the morning, as they came up to the sea, lo, there was a dry path. Now, again, I mentioned this last week. If you've, and most of us have seen, you know, some of the Hollywood movies like The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston, and then that other guy, they did another one where I don't even know who this guy is. He's an actor I've never seen before, and this was recently I saw it, and, you know, you kind of want to zip to the Red Sea and see how it goes down. He actually just raised his hands up, and all of a sudden it just split. That's not what the Bible says. But there is one out there that they did do it like the Bible says. It just took all night long with the, you know, the strong east wind that blew the water and separated the water and dried up the ground, because that water would make it like a muck. So you would have to dry that up. So the Lord did it that way. But I'm not suggesting that anybody would watch that video, because, boy, did they mess up theology everywhere else. They get a couple things right here, and then they mess it all up over there. So anyway, getting back, it says, in the morning, as they came up to the sea, lo, there was a dry path. The waters were divided and stood like a wall upon either side, and the children of Israel were halfway through the sea, walking on dry land. Oh, man, my brothers and sisters, could you imagine seeing that, just being there? You know, this is one of the reasons I like reading and studying the First Testament. And, the New Testament, too, obviously, because of all the doctrinal amazements and the beauties of Christ's truth, especially the Sermon on the Mount. But the thing here is, like, some of the exciting events that happens, and it really never really got that exciting for me until I stopped watching TV. Decades ago, we got rid of the TV. And because, you know, you got to shoot them up, bang them up. Well, that's what it was. Some people are into the, you know, the mysteries and stuff like that, and some people are into some other bad stuff, though. But the thing is Hollywood likes to glorify everything and make it more exciting, and then when you finally start reading the Bible, and if you're one that hangs out all day long behind the TV screen and watches it, yeah, the Bible's going to be a little bit boring. That's what it was for me. It was boring. And but I asked the Lord, I said, could you please open it up? You know, please, you know. It wasn't, I guess boring is a bad word. It was just hard for me to understand it. And but eventually, you know, it took a couple, 3 years, and then all of a sudden the Lord revealed to get the TV out of the house, and it'll be even easier to understand. And boy, did it open up. That was, it was right around the time that we started keeping Sabbath, because we got rid of the TV, and then we started to keep Sabbath. So he opened it up. You know, it's just like with Elisha that came around asking him for help from the Lord, asking him for advice, and the guy was disgusting and vulgar and all this other stuff. And so Elisha asks for a minstrel, because he wanted to get all that garbage out of his mind, so that when he goes into prayer and seeks the Lord in prayer, he won't be all distracted from the crud that's in his mind. Some people watch TV 8 hours a day, sometimes 10. There's a lot of crud in your mind. And so it's hard to decipher truth when you're used to listening to fiction or lies. And just try it. Try giving up the TV for a month as you do your studies, and you watch what happens. It's amazing how it opens up. So going on, it says, they waited a while to decide what course they were. Well, I just scrolled up and I messed up. Okay, there it is. They waited a while to decide what course they had better pursue. They were disappointed and enraged that, as the Hebrews were almost in their power, and they were sure of them, an unexpected way was opened for them in the sea. See, again, brothers and sisters, the days are coming, especially when the latter rain falls upon us, and we're going to see things, and we're going to It's going to be like the apostles did, you know, right after Pentecost, and you know, all those thousands of people are getting saved, and because the utterance that comes from you when you start preaching it, even if you're not a preacher, I mean, people are going to be coming out from behind bushes and parked cars and stuff. I mean, if you remember what happened during the the midnight cry, like it's especially in, I think it was either Sweden or Switzerland, where it was illegal to preach as an adult. Boy, did they mess up their paperwork there, you know, with their laws of the land. They said, because they never said it's not illegal for little kids to do it. So they just assumed that only adults were going to do that. And so they says it's illegal to preach against the state religion. So the Lord actually had little kids do it. And it just came out of them. And that's when it's going to happen with us. We're going to go forth. For those of us that have never preached before, those of us that have, we're going to have even more information to share. And we're going to see eyes opened, hearts melted, lives changed, pews emptied. Then, of course, Satan shows up to try to shut us up. But again, by then, with the latter rain upon you, and Satan standing around the earth, and you know the death threats coming, and all, and then they start enforcing the mark with the buy and sell, and the martyrdoms start to kick it up a notch. It's with the loud cry upon, with the latter rain upon you. Yeah, brothers and sisters, fear ain't going to be a factor there. You're not going to be the least bit afraid about, you know, oh, they're going to martyr me? Oh, okay. Well, at least I get to take a nap before everything really gets crazy. It's not going to bother you, really. Even if they were to burn you alive. Think about Huss singing while he was on fire. So it's really not going to be an issue. You know, they can do whatever they want. Plus, we also know 1 Corinthians 10:13 is a promise that we can embrace. So if we can't handle what they're going to do to us, it won't be allowed. And there'll also be an easy way for us to escape, right in there, 1 Corinthians 10:13. So, but yeah, it's eventually going to get to the point where we're going to see things the apostles never saw, because the latter rain falls more abundantly than the former, or early rain. As that's what they had, the early rain. That's just, you know, the Holy Spirit in their hearts was the first time humans ever in mass saw that. I mean, you know, the prophets of old, Jeremiah was born with it, obviously, and so was John the Baptist. And so they will, you know, the people of God will definitely be seeing things that's just going to, oh, it's just going to be amazing. That's just to see him glorified, you know, when you see all that, you know, it's all coming and stuff. You know, man, you just want to be there. It's to see him glorified. It's not about eye candy. It's not about it's going to be really cool to see. No, no. And when Satan appears, I wonder. Just, it was Sweden. Thanks, Brother Anthony. And the thing is how many people would think that, you know, like when Satan shows up and acts like he's Jesus, I wouldn't even want to see it if they put it on a TV set. I'm not taking that chance. You know, like, because Jesus said, don't go there. He doesn't have to lay out a big old dissertation as to why. He's your Lord. He's your Savior. He's your King. He said, don't go. Enough said. He said it. I believe it. That settles it. And you'll walk away. Even if somebody that you never expected to be a strong, quote-unquote, Christian, comes up to you, totally healed or something, or preaching left and right, but they're preaching the fake Jesus. Because he's on the planet now. Think about that. Everybody that surrounds us, if we're part of the Gideon band, you know, the 144,000, everybody that surrounds us are going to think they're Christians. And they're going to know deep down inside their hearts, so they think. But they're going to think deep down inside their hearts, they are card-carrying Christians. And Jesus Christ is on the planet, and he's directing them and giving them even more superpowers. And they have all these amazing abilities because the demons are in them big time, right? And we're just standing there, you know, just trusting our Lord, our God. It's not going to be an easy day for them, especially at the end of Plague 6. So... Amen. Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So that's one of the reasons why real Christians won't fear death, because their love for him. Yeah, good point, sister. So, wow, I didn't know 5 billion people got the jab. Yeah, and all of them, the died. Oh, man, that's in the documentary. Man, that's the Georgia Guidestones. Oh, man. And that's why the Georgia's Guidestones was destroyed during the pandemic. Did you notice? Oh, well, the plandemic, because it wasn't really a pandemic. The numbers weren't even there for a pandemic. Yeah, it's not there. It's not how it's defined. But nobody knows how those, the Georgia Guidestones got there, which means it was a government thing. They set it up and they literally just said in I don't know how many different languages that they're going to get the planet down to a certain number. They were going to kill billions and billions and billions of people. And then once the pandemic started and they started, and then the people started literally dying from the vaccines, then all of a sudden somebody just, threw some dynamite at that American, looking, what do they call that, that thing with the witches do? Yeah, the circle. I can't remember the name of that thing. But yeah, they tore it down. So it went up and down via the hand of the government. But only those that have an understanding of what's going on in the world knows this. Only our brothers and sisters in the faith would know something like that. The Lord's letting us know these things for a reason. We got a duty. We got a job to do. So stay in the Word. Get really, really serious about that. And then He's testing you now. That's why some of us, He's just opening up the Word even more and more and more, because we're actually getting serious. We're stopping even the little things in life. And He's blessing us for it. And so He knows He could trust us. So He's going to keep on going forward with trusting us and testing us. Because He's going to test us big time, because this is a big job. This was prophesied as the biggest job ever in the history of mankind. And so, yeah, we got to be squeaky clean. That's why there's only going to be 144,000 out of billions, but ain't going to be a lot of billions left by then. Yeah. Amen. Amen, Brother Dwayne. So, going on, it says, They decided to follow them, Egyptians, because they went, the Jews went into the Red Sea. And then it says, and she's now quoting from our Lord's words, and it says, and the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked upon the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. Now, two things here. Number one, those chariot wheels were recently found. There's trenches on each side of that spot where the Lord split the Red Sea. There's like a deep trench on one side and a crazy deep trench on the other. And then they found it in the deep, deep one, the very deep one. They found a bunch of chariot wheels, and they had gold on them, so there wasn't a lot of crustaceans on them, so you could tell what you were looking at. Axles and all. He literally took the axle and the wheels and took them off. And the other thing here is, they glorified the Lord. Regardless if you're saved or lost, you're going to glorify the Lord. Case in point, at the end of the 1,000 years, even Satan himself bows down and declares Jesus Christ Lord. And so do all his angels, if you want to call them, for lack of a better word. Demon is just so piddly. I mean, daemon, but daemon is the head demon for us, like a certain area. But that's why a lot of the WAD files on heavy-duty video games usually call them daemons. Anyway. A lot of the guys that program video games are Satanists or just plain atheists. So it's very, very strange. And boy, do they got talent. And that's no mistake either. And so, but they glorified the Lord. Regardless, they're going to have to glorify him, just like everybody's going to have to do it at the end of the 1,000 years that didn't even make it into heaven. Not just Satan and his angels. Everybody he deceived are going to be there too. So let me get a little bit of water here. Okie dokie. It says the Egyptians dared to venture in the path God had prepared for his people. And angels of God went through their host and removed their chariot wheels. They were plagued. I like the way she puts that. Because that's literally, more or less, plagued by the hand of God. So she goes on. She says, their progress was very slow and they began to be troubled. They remembered the judgments that the God of the Hebrews had brought upon them in Egypt to compel them to let Israel go. And they thought that God might deliver them all into the hands of the Israelites. Now, here's the thing, and this is off topic, but I praise God for such a white's writings. and the first time I came across praising God is when I thought Vashti was a women's liver, where she wouldn't go and stand in front of the king and his drunk pals when he asked her to, right? She didn't want them lusting after her and sinning. She was a godly woman. But I just, when I first came across it, I just thought, you know, okay, she's a woman's liver or something, her attitude. But I found in Sister White's writings how she explained the whole thing went down, and it made more sense when you match it with what the Bible actually says. And it taught me to actually go deeper into Scripture and not just surface read it. I mean, I've never really, I mean, when I was a baby Christian, yeah, I surface read because I didn't know any better. But I still consider it surface reading if I go and I run through a verse and read it or study it up, and I don't define the Bible like the like a prophetic innuendo kind of a thing going on, you know, like a prophetic statement or a symbol. I got to put the definition. And when you do that, it opens it up even more. And so, just it's Ellen White's like having a cheat sheet, you know. It's just like having inside information on what it was kind of like. I would have no doubt, you know, early on in the church 2,000 years ago when the apostles were called of God, especially like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then Paul to go forth, and Peter. To go forth and pen the New Testament. It opened up the First Testament, you know, like most people call it the Old Testament, but it opened it up. Now look at Sister White. She opens up both, and in today's language yet. So you don't have to go out there and buy an NIV, you know, newly inconsistent version, because it's got, first of all, thousands of verses missing and thousands added. It's just like, but then again, that's why you also see Sister White prophesied and said, in the last days, books of a new order shall be written. And I put that quote on our SOP page on the website because it's just ridiculous how the Seventh-day Adventist Church attacked her writings because it has been taken. Just like the U.S. government has been taken, has prophesied. And so has the SDA church, as was prophesied in Matthew 20, verses 1 to 7. Yeah, 1 to 7. And then Revelation 12, 17. So it was prophesied to happen to the SDA church. It's even in the First Testament, I think it was Isaiah, talking about a new name. And that's SDR, Seventh-day Remnant. We were given a new name. And so, yeah. And we don't worship the name either, you know. It's a movement. We don't look at it as a church. Well, it is a church. The basic definition is called out ones. That's what church means. But yeah, it's just sad how they just, I mean, it's global. The way everybody is just so blind, including the SDAs in regards to all this. So go and thought that God might deliver them all into the hands of the... Okay, I got to compel. I got to go back. Okay, so they remembered the judgments that the God of the Hebrews had brought upon them in Egypt to compel them to let Israel go, and they thought that God might deliver them all into the hands of the Israelites, just like Satan's making everybody think that, yeah, he's got it down. It's a done deal. 5 billion people. Boy, that's a big number. I never thought it was that big, but never knew it was that big, rather. But I knew it was billions. I didn't know it was that high. And stopping there for a minute, too. Remember what Sister White said? You know, it's going to be exceptionally intense right before Jesus gets here. Some of us that understand the prophecies, the prophetic utterance, and the prophetic innuendo and all this other stuff, or even the symbols, and I would think that's the majority of the SDR movement. When we're looking at what we're looking at now with this vaccine, and not the masks. The masks was just, you know, to see if the people will fall for it. If they do, great, let's do the vaccine now. You know, so it was just an outward appearance that they will do. It's kind of like the yellow star that they put on the Jews, that Hitler did, and now they got yellow clothing that they're putting on the Christians when they come into near the Muslims. But it's just, well, I don't really want to go that much because I'm going to go way off topic here. But it's sad to see how so many people, and so, like, even with the 5 billion, hopefully they don't die before we have a chance to get out there and talk to them. Because the scuttlebutt on that vaccine was 18 months, 18 to 36 months. That people will die once they got it. And so I'm thinking a lot, you know, the latter rain is going to be falling a lot sooner than we thought. We're going to go forth and we're going to share with them, and then they're going to understand the truth, embrace Christ as Savior, and then maybe they'll have that heart attack. Just like with that one guy that had a friend that was in New York, and they were hanging out together when they were young, and all of a sudden when they got older, they had two different businesses, and he was in California, and his friend was in New York, and he was just so wanting to talk to his friend about Christ, and he finally had the chance one day to go, flew all the way over there, and was talking to him about Christ in his office. He accepted Christ as Savior. They went to go eat lunch. He steps out of the building, and he drops dead. Perfect timing. Perfect timing. Find Christ and then die, you know, especially in today's world with all the craziness. Because a lot of people are going to sleep, by the way, in the coming days, regardless if they got a vaccine or not, because 1 Corinthians 10:13. Look at William Miller. I mean, no, he wasn't going to live to our day, but the Lord allowed him to go to sleep early because of where he was headed, because some of his friends were influencing him a little bit strangely. Well, you're going to see the same thing happening in the coming days, where some of the people are strong Christians. They'll either be martyred because they're not going to be able to go through the plagues, or they're just going to all of a sudden fall, you know, asleep in their beds and never wake up. And so that's, you know, with that many people being vaccinated, yeah, it's going to start going like Sister White was saying, how it's going to be intensely strange. And we can see this. We can see this because we know what we're looking at. It's hard to explain it, though, because she didn't literally say billions are going to be dying. She just said it was going to be far worse than anybody could imagine. You know, like when you always think that, like you're headed towards a trial and you think, oh, it's going to be crazy bad. And it's not anywhere near as bad as you thought, because you always overthink it, right? She says, this isn't the case with this. Somebody finds that quote, let me know and put it in the room. But it's going to be intense. And that's what we're looking at. We know what we're looking at. And we can declare it even now, just like Jeremiah did chapter 15, verse 8. I think it was verse 8, where he declared something as a done deal already, even though it was not even fulfilled yet. He declared many widows would be in Israel. But that wasn't going to happen until Hezekiah stepped up. What was the other guy's name? Jehoiakim. He was the king at the time. And so Jeremiah declared something that was all a done deal. God made the decision. That's it. Done deal. Just think about the 501c3. Done deal. In 1954. Done deal. You could declare it that. And so the same thing. And I just found this out recently. I just happened to be, the Lord opened it up a little more for me because I've been in Jeremiah many times over the years. I just never caught this. And I saw it recently, just a few days ago, about how Jeremiah stated something that was already done, finished, even though it wasn't done yet. Hezekiah had to step up as king. Jehoiakim had to die young too. So there it is. Their widows are increased to me above the sand of the seas. I have brought upon them against the mother of the young men a spoiler at noonday. I have caused him to fall upon it suddenly, and the terrors upon the city. That didn't even happen yet. But he's declaring it as a done deal. Even John Wesley, and I don't like the, you know, because I think Wesley was a Sabbath keeper, but his theology, there's a few boo-boos in it. You can go, but then again, it's just like with Martin Luther, he didn't have all the truth yet. Just like we don't, even when we're part of the Gideon Band. We might not have all, well, we're not going to have all the truth, obviously, even if we're part of the Gideon Band, because we're going to be studying the scripture for eternity. And so, but even John Wesley, let me read you John Wesley's, what he said. Because upon it suddenly, and terrors upon it. And that's a prophetic innuendo for today, too. Think about it. But, yeah, good point. So let me go to Jeremiah 15. I think I got Wesley's notes in here, too, in this Esort. It comes with Wesley topic notes. Oh, that's not that. That's done. I got to go in commentaries. Commentaries you got to have because it's got a cross-referencer in there, and I love those cross-referencers. I'm on the wrong verse. Bam, there it is. He goes, this is what Wesley said. They're widows. And so now he's going to explain why the term their widows has been mentioned. He says, the prophet still speaks of things to come as if present. In Jehoiakim's time, we read of no such plenty of widows. They were multiplied when the city was besieged and taken in Zedekiah's time to a great number. And so there you have it. So that, and the reason I bring that up is because we know what we're looking at when we see the 5 billion people vaccinated, let's say. It's a done deal. We know because of what Sister White said about it being off the chart, crazier and scarier than anybody could even imagine, right? For those that don't trust Jesus, it's going to be scary if you don't have Jesus, obviously. No Jesus, no peace. And then, of course, K-N-O-W, Jesus, K-N-O-W, peace. That's a bumper sticker I saw years ago. And so, but yeah, it's going to, so we could declare it done deal now because they got the shot. It's a done deal. It's just like passing the bill in 1954. Done deal. Well, they got the shot. Well, he didn't die right away. Well, yeah, it's done deal for most of them. Because I don't know, I'm hoping and praying that some of them got placebos, if you will. You know, and but you just see some of the blood clots are coming out of these people, especially post-mortem, after they died. One guy had over six foot on one clot. Of course, he didn't survive, but over 6 foot on one clot. The one guy, he got in the hospital quick enough, I guess. They pulled out a 3 foot clot. And now you know why they had that one luciferase. Why? Because Lucifer is represented in prophecy as well as a serpent, like a serpent. And why would they use venom? Have you ever seen what venom does to human blood? It turns it into a blob. They took a couple of drops, put it in a beaker with blood in it, and shook it, you know, because you got to shake it because the heart beats, you know, so keep the blood moving. And then within, I think, 30 seconds, it just turned into, like, jello. It was just disgusting. It's on video. You can probably see it online on the video how they do that. And so they put that in the vaccine. Anybody that got it, it eventually works its way into the bloodstream. It could take 18, 36 months. They don't know. And eventually it got there. Oh, thank you, Brother Anthony. Is this it? This is Spiritual Gifts. Is that what that is? Volume 1. It says, but notwithstanding all the persecution and the putting to death of the saints, yet living witnesses were raised up on every hand. The angels of God were doing the work committed to their trust. They were searching in the darkest places and were selecting out of the darkness men who were honest at heart. They were all buried up in error, yet God selected them as he did, Saul, as chosen vessels to bear his truth and raise their voices against the sins of his prophesied people. So that's kind of like what we're going to be doing. So this isn't the one that I was talking about, the scary stuff. But that's, you know, we're being tested now. So that's more or less what that was about right there. So thanks, bro. But if you could find that other one. You know, so going on. She says here, we're on page 210. It says, they decided that God was fighting for the Israelites. And they were terribly afraid and were turning about to flee from them. When, now she's quoting our Lord's word, she says, the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. Now, Hollywood twisted it. So Moses does stick his staff out, because we know what the Bible says. But they, instead of saying it was killing the Egyptians, because that's what Hollywood's all about, is, I mean, the word universal is, in Latin, is Catholic. Catholic in Latin is universal in English. That's why you got Universal Studios. So they've been doing that for years. But the thing is, for Moses to go out and put his staff out and make the waters split is the exact opposite of what the Bible said. He puts his staff out and the water covers everyone. So the devil's trying to make it look like those that are evil are going to have the better part of what's coming their way. It's just a weird twist. Oh, yeah, thanks, Lawrence. Yeah, that was kind of like a no Jesus, no peace. That was neat the way they did that. They put the K-N-O-W, Jesus, K-N-O-W, Jesus, peace. Yeah. And then, but the N-O is red in both. So that is a neat way of doing that. I'm going to have to remember. I'll use that in a video. Let's see if I can save that. Save image as. Let me just stick it on the hard drive and where all my video stuff is. There it is. I'll just put no Jesus, no peace. There. There it goes. Thanks, bro. Oh, I probably got it when it was dinky tiny. I shouldn't have done it that way. Probably going to be the size of a postage stamp. So no Jesus. There it is. I'll redo it. Yes, cover it up. Here it goes. All right. Because I've done that on Google a couple of times where I says, oh, I could use that pick, and I don't realize I got to go and get the full version of the pick because it comes out really tiny. So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remaineth not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto their right hand and their left. perfect innuendo there is the end of Plague 6. And I remember that too. Like when we were living in the 1011A house, the Lord kept on revealing to me. I mean, the thought kept coming to my mind over and over again, multiple times a day, Red Sea, Red Sea, Red Sea. So I started studying it up. And boy, did he split the waters for us. We finally got out of that situation. We moved away from the Chicago area, ended up on a farm, and then bam, he opened up his word. And actually, 6 months before that, a year before we got on the farm, we ended up moving into a small town until we could find a farm, like a farm to live on. But we're not farmers, but we lived in farmland. And we were there the first 6 months. Well, we were there a year, but the first 6 months, just studying up the word. I couldn't get a job to save my life. No one would hire me because I don't know. Overqualified. Somebody even said overqualified and stuff like that, because I was looking for computer work and that. But I was able to go into the scriptures, and for some reason, I couldn't put it down. It was like 8-10 hours a day. And then he opened up, we started keeping Sabbath. And then 6 months later, we moved into that farm house for $100 a month for 8.5 years, something like that. 5 acres, 5 bedrooms, real nice. Anyway, she goes on. She says, "But the children of Israel walked upon the dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them in the right hand and their left. And thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore." And now, again, the prophetic innuendo here is we're going to see them drop all around us at the end of Plague 6. If we're not, and even if we're not part of the Gideon band, some of us, because we're out there proclaiming the third angel's message, because Sister White does say in the special resurrection, I think it's in the 1858, maybe I should put that on the site where I lock it out like I did on that God's People Delivered. I still got to do the chapter before that. Been kind of busy. But we're going to see them all die all around us. As they come to, because now the 1 hour with the beast, now that the death decree that was set forth and the bill was passed, that started Plague 1, and that's when the killings stop. Even Sister White says that. It's all on my 1 hour with the beast page, and I wasn't the only one that chimed in on that page because there was a situation going down, and I didn't want to be the only one putting that study up because of something. There was an attack on the church, and so a few of the brothers stepped up and preached too on it, and it's really intense page. But praise the Lord for that. But we're going to see that at the end of the sixth plague, when they surround us and they're all going to drop dead all around us. And even as we ascend in Plague 7. But the thing is, like I was saying earlier with the special resurrection, some of us that can't handle all the plagues, I guess, or whatever, for whatever reason the Lord decides for. And of course, the people that were at Ellen White's day, because you're not going to live 200-300 years. And so Ellen White's going to get up, James White's going to get up, a lot of the pioneers in the SDA church are going to get up during that special resurrection. That's directly before the Lord says, arise, arise, arise to all the, Christians, believers that were there since Cain and Abel's day to our day, right? So there's going to be a lot of people come out of the grave on that day. But that day doesn't come until, obviously, Plague 7. So some of us may go to sleep, and then all of a sudden, those of us that are part of those 144,000, let's say, we're out there, hiding or whatever, in a dungeon, in a jail, wherever. And like, say we're out in the woods or in a cave, and then brothers and sisters in the faith that went to sleep before the plagues began all of a sudden appear. And it's like, because they're going to be able to partake, because if you were instrumental in proclaiming the three angels' message, not just the third, all three, 1, 2, 3, and well, you could actually do number 4 too, but we all know what Revelation 18 is about. And so, but yeah, they're going to get up again. It's in the 1858, and but the strange thing is, the people that have been instrumental in killing God's people, all the way from Cain to all the popes, yeah, they're going to get up again too. On that day, same day, the special resurrection. Problem is, they're going to die in Plague 7. Those are the people I always say they get to die 3 times, because they're already dead now. They get up, the special resurrection, they're obliterated by Plague 7, so they're killed, and then at the end of the 1,000 years, they get up again, and then they're killed permanently. As Nahum says, they're not going to get up a second time. So going on, it says, "And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses." We got much further to go here? Nope. I may as well end it here. So as the Hebrews, because this is a good jumping off point for next week. See, what are we? I don't even know what page we're on. I think it's probably too tiny. Yeah, we only did one page. I am so sorry, but, well, no, I'm not. I'm not sorry at all. Let the Holy Spirit run. That's part of the test, too. And so praise his mighty name, if you can kneel. Oh, here. There it is. Thanks, Brother Anthony. Oh, wow, I didn't even think of that, Dwayne. The viper on Paul's hand. Wow, there's a connection. There's a prophetic innuendo because the viper was in the vaccine. Oh, man. Praise his mighty name. Because I look at that as a prophetic innuendo because, you see, the Lord doesn't do anything by mistake. He doesn't do anything by from just mere happenstance. It's just like when he walked out in the fourth hour, he came out in the fourth watch to walk on the water. There's a reason he did that, too. Everybody says, oh, it's amazing. He walked on the water and go with that and run that doctrine or that prophecy. Oh, no, yeah, not a prophecy, but, well, it is a prophetic innuendo. Because what's the fourth, seven churches, four movements? Amen. Nothing new under the sun. But yeah, let me scroll down a little bit and get that one quote from Spiritual Gifts, page 205, paragraph 2. It says, "There was a mighty earthquake. The graves were shaken open. And those who had died in faith under the third angel's message, keeping the Sabbath, came forth from their dusty beds, glorified to hear the covenant of peace that God was to make with those who had kept his law." So they get to hear what the Gideon band hears. And Spiritual Gifts, Volume 1, that's actually, I think that's the 1858, right? Same book. So, and then later on, she goes into the detail in regards to, the arise, 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 and then all the dead in Christ rise up. And so, but yeah. So that's what I love about her writings. It helps us to have that inside information. And here's the nice thing, too, and this is why the Seventh-day Adventist Church changed her writings. You can back everything she says with rock-hard scripture unless you got an edited version of The Great Controversy, let's say. Let's just pick that book, for example. If you have the 1888 or the 1911, there's stuff missing in there. And they added stuff, too. Or the Desire of Ages, she never even wrote that one. That's all compilation. That's all it is. But they put her name on it as if she wrote it, cover to cover. And, boy, has it got a lot of stuff. She actually, she actually says that when Jesus returns, he touches the earth. Why? Well, because there's a lot of people in the Seventh-day Adventist Church now that believe in Catholic theology. You don't believe me? Go to my SDA apostasy page, .org. And SDAapostasy.org, and look up, click the link that says Roman SDA. And by the way, that web page is going to be changed soon. It's being reprogrammed completely. So amen. Yeah, amen. Four pillars: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Anyway, if you can kneel, it is that time. Please do.